Hi everyone, this is Achyuta Bhava from Nightlight Astrology, and today we are going to take a look at the solar eclipse that's coming through in the sign of Sagittarius tomorrow. We previewed this solar eclipse last week. If you go back into the videos that I made last week, you can take a look at a little bit of a preview that I did on the solar eclipse in Sagittarius. And if you go back a little further, there's also a video that I did about the misconceptions about Sagittarius, all of which might be relevant for you to look at if you want to know a little bit more about the sign of Sagittarius and what to expect from it, given the eclipse that's coming through. Today, what I want to do is remind you about the general symbolism of a solar eclipse, talk a little bit about this eclipse and this eclipse cycle that's coming through, and then I'm going to go through all 12 rising signs. And lately, I've been playing with the tarot, so I brought in a card per sign today to accompany the interpretation of where the eclipse lands according to your rising sign, of course, based on a whole sign calculation of your birth chart. So that is our agenda for today. Before I dive into that, I want to remind you all that there are just 29 days left to go in my annual Kickstarter. We are closing in on 500 backers, and as of the time that I'm recording this, and we have our goal is 1,367 for the year. So we have a little ways to go yet, and I want to direct you to the Kickstarter right now and tell you a little bit about it. The Kickstarter is something that I have been doing. This is my eighth year doing it. And there are three ways, there are three, like you could say, three elements of my practice as a professional astrologer. One, every day for about the first half of my day, I create this content for free and publish it on YouTube. In the afternoons, I am either developing curriculum or I am with clients or both. And then on the weekends, I teach classes. So the way that I support so many things that I do comes through the Kickstarter every year. When you like this video, these videos, you share them, you subscribe, you click on the notification bell. All of that is really good and super helpful. So thank you if you've done that already. You say some prayers for us that this channel would be successful and continue to be a space where I'm growing as a person and sharing my best work, that's also deeply appreciated. When you pitch into the Kickstarter, it helps support a staff of people that work for me, make this whole thing work. It supports my ability to give donation-based support to people or tuition, need-based tuition for all of my classes so that people aren't priced out. So this is a huge part of why I can succeed as an astrologer is because of the Kickstarter every year. When you pitch in, I always try to make sure you can pick up a reward in exchange. There's exclusive videos, all sorts of exclusive lectures and videos. There are exclusive readings too, like my year ahead horoscope reading or the astrology of 2022. The year ahead horoscope reading is something that gives you a deep dive into your sun or rising sign for the whole year. There's also, let's see how many left. There are they're gone. They're actually gone. We sold out of the mini readings, but you can still pick up your year ahead reading for your sun or rising sign. There's horary readings as well that you can pick up in a bundle. And then you can pitch in and save 50% off on any of my online programs. So if you're in my year one program, pick up year two, pick up horary, bundle two of them or three of them together. I have 4 1-year programs. So I have a total of 4 years worth of curriculum you can study with me. That's all been really well developed, and they are just excellent classes. I have never poured myself creatively into anything as much as I have these 4 courses in astrology. I want to help train a new generation of astrologers, not just me, but obviously there's lots of astrologers out there doing this, but I focus a lot of time and energy on trying to make sure that there's a lot of well-trained astrologers so that astrology keeps living on, and especially infusing the astrology that I do, whether it's here or my programs, with a spiritual focus. So that's what my programs are about. That's what this channel is about. If you appreciate that kind of stuff, pick up tuition in my class when you donate. Come study with me in 2022 or take one of my advanced classes. Just support this channel and all of the hard work that goes into it. Every morning I wake up, I pour all of my time and energy, several hours just to prep for making this video. Then the video is made and then it goes out. So that's the process. And that's what you're supporting when you support this channel. I really deeply appreciate it. So all of that being said, today, and the link is in the description or the chat box. So today, what we're going to do is talk a little bit about this eclipse in Sagittarius and what to expect from it. And then we'll run through the signs. And I got some good tarot cards picked out based on your rising sign, as well as the house location. So remember that this eclipse coming for on December 4th, 2021 in the sign of Sagittarius is also happening. You can see it kind of, I don't have it exactly to the minute here because I'm setting it up for the horoscopes, but you can see that Mercury is right in the mix of this. And this entire eclipse, this new moon cycle is configured with Jupiter, as Jupiter is also going to change signs and pick up dignity. So this is an eclipse that has a lot to do with the Jupiterian energies, which are big, expansive. They can be kind of grandiose or inflated, but they can also be big confidence boosters. And generally speaking, where Jupiter is involved in things, there's going to be an aura of auspiciousness or support or more beneficial people or resources coming into your life. So now this cycle does include a Venus retrograde with Pluto, and it also includes eventually a Saturn-Uranus square toward the last part of the lunar cycle. So the changes implied by this cycle to me are very positive, expansive, supportive, abundant, action-oriented with fiery Sagittarius involved. It's a lot about wisdom being gained and confidence being built and resources being acquired. But also, you know, that's going to come with some dismantling and some significant changes and challenges in the last part of the cycle as we come down the last 10 days or so of the year. And then Venus retrograde goes on into January as well. But for this moon cycle, the second half, like full moon forward, is the promise of the cycle is bright, but there's work around the full moon to about last quarter. So we'll be talking a lot about that this month. But at any rate, so here's our new moon, and let's go through the rising signs and talk about where it's landing. And I've got a tarot card for every single sign that I am riffing off from in collaboration with the house location. I've been having a lot of fun doing this lately. I hope you guys have been liking it too. Here is, if you're an Aries rising, we're going to start with Aries. If you're an Aries rising, then you have the eclipse in Sagittarius in your ninth whole sign house. Okay, so the ninth house, the place of the higher mind, education, religion, long journeys. It's a place that guides us through life as we get signs and omens from dreams and the gods. It's a house of divination and astrology. It's the house of religion, academics. So wherever we go to understand something, to form and shape our beliefs, and to by the formation of those beliefs, we have something like an internal spiritual moral GPS that guides us along. That's the house that is most intimately associated, the ninth house, with that GPS system, you could say. The card for you this month is the moon. So your eclipse card that I drew for you, if you are an Aries rising, is the moon card. It's a really interesting card. It's came up earlier this week, yesterday, when I did the reading for the Scorpio Taurus axis changing signs, interestingly enough. But anyway, let me go back to the real time clock and point out a few things. When the moon comes up, I always think of a card that wants us to understand what lives in the unconscious. Now, nobody really knows what the unconscious is, but it's clear that things that we live in our psyches appear sometimes. They are operating all the time, but so deep below, so deep within, that we have no conscious awareness of it. They're there. They're semi-conscious or only partly conscious or something. And then something happens and we become aware of it. And that's not always easy. Well, you've got Mars moving into the ninth house, a place about that, a planet of conflict moving into a place of belief. So I've got to wonder if part of the exploration this month isn't the shadow of your beliefs or lack of beliefs, the shadows created in your life because of the lack of an internal guidance system, and really getting under the surface of the way in which your beliefs have guided your life thus far, effectively or ineffectively, and what shadows are in that place, the ninth place, the place of religion, spirituality, beliefs, dreams, convictions. I think that there's going to be an emphasis on looking at, you know, if you were brought up, for example, in a religious home, what were the shadows of your religious upbringing? Right now, what are the benefits or weaknesses of your spiritual life or intellectual life? And starting to understand things that maybe have not been visible or conscious to you previously, and now understanding them. So that's what comes to my mind with the solar eclipse in the ninth and then pulling the moon card. All right, let's go on. So we're going to go to Taurus rising next. Taurus rising places this eclipse into the eighth house, right? And we can also see Mars is going to move into the eighth house. You've got Venus retrograding in the ninth and so on and so forth. One of the things that I like about this eclipse for you is if you're a Sagittarius, is remember that Jupiter, the dispositor of this eclipse, is in your 10th house and about to change signs and pick up dignity and go into the 11th house. It's its own joy and a place of benefactors and benefits. Okay, that's a fantastic place for Jupiter to ingress into. So the card that I drew for you, your 8th house eclipse, if you're a Taurus rising, is the 8 of Wands. Another card that came up in the Taurus Scorpio axis readings that I did. When I think about, or did it? Maybe it didn't. I thought it did. But anyway, when I think about the Eight of Wands, and I mean, just look at it again, just for a second here, you can see the feeling of swift, unimpeded movement. These wands are like flying through the air, and wands are a fiery suit in the tarot. And there's a sense of like openness and progress and swift, clear movement and bright blue skies. And maybe there's a lot going on. It's a busy card, but there's a sense of like strength and progress. One of the things that I love about this eclipse for you, if you're a Taurus, is the idea of positive resources, benefits, and coming into your life, because the eighth house is a place where we receive things from other people, or we give things to other people, and there's sort of contractual karmic bonds that we have with other people for better or worse. Well, in a Jupiter ruled sign, with Jupiter doing really well in your 10th house and about to enter the 11th, I got to think that there's some sense of gaining resources, gaining steam, gaining momentum, finding people or resources that are there to support you or help you move forward. Mars entering the 8th house, it might seem like a really negative thing to have Mars into the 8th house, but in a Jupiter ruled sign, with Jupiter picking up dignity in such a nice place, you got to think, okay, there's the potential for this smooth, swift progress and powerful resources or people helping you somehow right now. So I thought that was a really interesting take on the eighth house. And given the card seemed to be pulling on the Jupiter symbolism and Jupiter's movement into the 11th house, the place of allies. At any rate, all right, so let's go forward again, and we'll put Gemini on the ascendant. With Gemini in the ascendant, this for you, your eclipse lands in the seventh, where Mars is also about to enter. You've got Jupiter in the ninth, Venus about to retrograde in the eighth. So that's where the energy is focused. Now, the card that I drew for you is interesting. It's the Justice card. Now, the Justice card, there's a lot of various interpretations of the Justice card. And one of the ones that I come back to, especially in this context, is the idea of the balancing effect of karma, and specifically within relationships. The one thing we know about karma is deeply mysterious, the way that karma works, which is to say the way that actions result in certain kinds of outcomes versus others. Like why do we do one thing and get a certain outcome sometimes, and do something the exact same way and get a different outcome other times? The study of karma is deeply mysterious, but the Justice card seems to point to some kind of moment of justice or balancing or questions about fairness in the seventh house, a place that has to do with relationships, while Jupiter and Saturn are in the ninth house, the place of the law, the place of ethics, the place that has concern for the judgments of the gods over people's activities and lives, but also the court system as a reflection of that in society. So there's something here about some kind of balancing. Venus retrograde in the eighth house, a place of debts. Get the feeling that Geminis are going to go through a kind of karmic justice moment in the month ahead. So that's what I've got for you if you're a Gemini. And I don't think that has to be ominous either. Like some balancing that happens is really good. It feels really good. It feels like when the scales are balanced, balanced out, there's a sense of rightness behind it. And sometimes a lot of other things fall into place in our lives when things are balanced out, even if we don't fully understand why, or sometimes it's, you know, it's hard, but still everything in its right place. There's a feeling about that, that the Justice card brings. So maybe some readjustments and some justice at work this month if you're a Gemini rising. Cancer rising. If you're a Cancer rising, this eclipse takes place in your sixth, with Mars about to enter the sixth, Venus retrograding the seventh, Jupiter and Saturn in the eighth. Now, I'm just using the traditional take right now. I'm not plugging in the outer planets, just to kind of show you where the main energies are focused. Interestingly, if you're a Cancer rising, the card that I drew for you is the Devil card. It's a major arcana card. Because one of the things to notice about the card, it's kind of a scary card, but you can see that the two, the man and the woman who are standing there chained to the devil, have nooses that are easily taken off. It's like, oh, you could easily take that noose off your neck. It's not like it's so tight that you're stuck. So there's always, I've always heard this. It's always made a lot of sense to me. It's always showed up when the Devil card comes up. It's about the things that we have chained ourselves to, and the things that we feel obligated to or bound by, or areas in life that we feel restricted. We need to loosen up because there's a lot of fear or repression. I've also noticed with the Devil card, the compulsiveness and addictive qualities can be quite strong. So when we look at Cancer rising, you see that the eclipse is in a house that was called the house of bad fortune, of conflict, while Venus is going to retrograde with Pluto in the seventh. I got to think that questions about conflict and desire in relationships are going to surface, and that you're going to be looking at the healthy versus unhealthy impulses in relationships, in love, how you fight. Do you fight fair? What about sexual impulses in relationships? I look at that as well. And I don't think it will be easy necessarily to work through all of it. There's some work involved, because that sixth house signature tends to bring about the frustrations, the challenges, the conflict. It's a house that was associated with Mars. All right, moving forward, let's put Leo on the ascendant. And with Leo on the ascendant, the eclipse is going to fall into your fifth house. Now, Mars is going to move into the fifth as the month goes on, Venus retrograding the sixth, Jupiter and Saturn in the seventh. So that's where all of the energy is concentrated. The card that I got for you is quintessential fifth house card, which is the Queen of Pentacles. Now, the Queen of Pentacles is a card that, as you can see from the card, let me hold it up one more time. It's the image of a goddess, and really like a maternal figure, a matriarch. It has the feeling of nurturing creative things. It's very fertile. Now, the fifth house is the place of pregnancy. And so I guess I would warn all of my Leo risings out there, like, if you don't want to become pregnant, then be careful this month. Also, there may be a baby on the way. There's another way of putting it would be that it's a month that has something to do with what you're fostering creatively, and questions about joy and happiness. The Queen of Pentacles is definitely an earthy card. And so sensuality, earthiness, embodied qualities, the Sagittarius energy in the fifth can be a little, when I think about the Queen of Pentacles, I also think about someone who's balanced and who's wise and mature in their animal body, in their sensual body, who's mastered something about their relationship with nature and sensuality and the feminine qualities. Sagittarius can be a little bit reckless around those things in the fifth house, especially. So is there some need to be more masterful, like a queen who holds those the energies of pleasure, sensuality, creativity, fertility, romance, holding them in a mature way might come to mind this month for Leos. Could be a very romantic month as well. And remember, you do have Jupiter, the dispositor, in your seventh house of marriage and love. So I also wonder about themes of wives, women, children, marriage in general, domestic life being really strong. Okay, so that's for my Leos. Let's move ahead and let's go to Virgo. So we're going to put Virgo on the ascendant, and that means that the eclipse is happening in your fourth house. Now, the fourth house is a place associated with home, family, roots, foundations, land, parents. And you've got Mars coming into that house this month after the eclipse, Venus retrograding in the fifth, and Jupiter and Saturn in the sixth, with Jupiter about to move into the seventh. One of the things that I find really interesting about the fourth house, eclipses in the fourth house, is how frequently they coincide with generational change, marriages in the family, deaths in the family, births in the family, moving, selling a family home. It's like, yeah, there's it's like the turning over of the soil around home and family karma in general. All right, well, the card that I drew for you is the Four of Pentacles. You can see this young man who sometimes is described as like, you know, young, maybe inherited some money, you know, a little greedy or possessive, maybe a little superficial, like I'm clutching onto my gold coin, my pentacles or whatever. But the other thing that the card implies is a foundation, a young foundation. A solar eclipse is a new beginning. So solar eclipses tend to coincide with things that are a seed that's being planted. One thing that I love about this card for you this month for my Virgos is the seed being planted around home and family, the early development of something or being given gifts or having some kind of privilege or initial blessing that you have to, that you're starting off with and trying to create a foundation with. And the message here is also, you know, don't get stuck in, something that sometimes things look good and then it's like, oh, that's good. Like, let's make it last forever. Don't get sort of possessive and clingy over something that's good and healthy right now. And rather than thinking, how can I never lose this? Be thankful and think about how can I sustain this for however long it's meant to be in my care, my hands. I think that's probably a good lesson. So that's for my Virgo risings, an emphasis on home and family in general, as well as assets, resources, wealth, land, possessions in relation to the family seems to be important. Also, maybe some kind of attraction to a person who has resources or wealth or something like that, especially since Jupiter is about to move into your seventh house of relationships. All right, well, let's put Libra on the ascendant, which pushes all of the Sag energy into the third, Mars moves into the third, Venus is retrograding in your fourth, Saturn and Jupiter in the fifth. The card that I drew for you, if you're a Libra, is the Five of Swords. Now, to me, this card is, it's one of my least favorite cards, to be honest with you, because it tends to coincide with like pettiness. I've noticed it comes up a lot when people are being petty or I'm being petty. This could be a card, for example, a lot of people talk about it as a card that means like a shallow or hollow victory. Like, yeah, you won, but you were a jerk to do so. Or, you know, yeah, you've dispatched of some troubles, but maybe you're feeling a little too proud of it, or maybe the way in which you did it wasn't totally great. I wonder about, for Libras this month with all of that Mars energy in the third house and with the Mars, you know, Mars is going to move into the third and then the eclipse in the third, Mercury in the third. I wonder about mentally combative energies this month and the need to feel right and the need to like win. And I would be very careful of that. It could hurt you or you could hurt others by getting too involved in that. Clarifying your beliefs, having some kind of victory is important, but how you win matters, how you fight matters. Sometimes being right is less important than maintaining love for one another. And I think that might be part of the lesson this month. This could have something to do with conflict that comes back around home, family, siblings, something like that, given the presence of the third house of siblings and the fourth house of home and family as well. All right, Libras, let's go forward to Scorpios now. So if you're a Scorpio, this Scorpio rising, this energy comes into your second house, place of money, finances. Venus is retrograde in the third, Saturn and Jupiter in the fourth. So I like this one a lot. The card I drew for you, if you're a Scorpio, is the Page of Wands. Now, the Page of Wands is a card that is often going to coincide with a person entering your life. Pages often show up as people, as do other court cards. But when Page of Wands shows up into your life, I always think about it also as a new idea, maybe something entrepreneurial, but it's driven by a vision. It's driven by some sense of inspiration. Could be youthful and a little bit immature. It could be a little reckless, may not have all of the experience that it needs to have, but it's inspired, it's youthful, it's movement oriented, and it brings some kind of passion with it. Well, if we look at where the eclipse is, it's happening in your second house, money, resources, finances, a new beginning in that area. I get the feeling of something entrepreneurial happening for a lot of my Scorpios out there, or some change around work or money, or like a new chapter coming in and some new inspiration around work, business, development, or acquisition of new skills and resources. I get that's the feeling and the mood that I get from the Page of Wands paired with your second house eclipse. So let's move forward to Sagittarius rising. If you're a Sag rising, this is happening in your first house with Mars about to enter your first house, Venus about to retrograde in your second, and Jupiter is in your third, about to change into your fourth. I'm actually going to back this up one day. Get the eclipse looking a little bit more. There it is. You can see it right there. So the card, if you're a Sagittarius rising, this is in your first house, right? So the card that I drew for you is the King of Swords. Now, another court card, so it can sometimes mean that a person is entering your life. Maybe that there's a King of Swords-like figure that comes to mind, or that comes comes into the picture somehow. But also, when I think of the King of Swords, given the emphasis on the first house, a place that is about your own individuality, your own sense of autonomy, your own willpower, Mars coming into that house, I think, okay, this is a month of personal empowerment, sort of textbook look and feel of, I need to develop more personal strength. That could be about something that's very personal, like your diet or your body or your health, and just developing more confidence and fighting through something, some self-destructive habits. It could also be about feeling empowered and, you know, maybe there's going to be some kind of power struggle. King of Swords, I think, sometimes shows up when the potential is there for confrontation with authority figures or dealing with your own authority in contrast to someone else's. So I look at Sagittarius this month and I go like, okay, King of Swords, questions about authority and will and personal strength and power. But then obviously that could entail conflicts with others as well. So you want to be a little bit careful about that. All right, so let's move forward now, and we're going to put Capricorn on the ascendant. This was one of the most peculiar cards that I drew for Capricorn. Your eclipse is happening in the 12th house, with Mars about to go in the 12th, Venus about to retrograde in your first house, Jupiter and Saturn in your second, with Jupiter about to enter the third this month. So the card that I drew for you, if you're a Cap rising, is the Fool. This is the, the very beginning of a journey. You don't know what's going to come. You don't know what's going to happen. And so there's some naivete potentially, and even some, carelessness or, foolhardiness, but also that's what makes the journey so brilliant. You don't know what you don't know. You don't know until you know. Now I know. The Fool card to me is also like about riding the, kind of the razor's edge between something that is potentially life-giving and something that's destructive, something that represents a new adventure, a new chapter in your life, and something that could be like you're about to step off a cliff. It's interesting to me that we're seeing that with a Sagittarian adventurous eclipse in your 12th house, with Mars about to enter that, as Venus also retrogrades in your first house. I think about new personal risks that Capricorns are taking this month. And it could be a fine line between whether it's destructive or life-giving. Either way, I think you're going to learn a lot from it this month. Especially around that last portion of the month, once Venus turns retrograde in your first house, you're going to get feedback about yourself. And there's probably some innocence and some self-destructiveness combined in the way that you're in the way information is going to be conveyed to you this month. It's like, hey, part of you is just sort of, has these blind spots. That's the 12th house. But part of you is also learning new things and becoming someone different. And there's some risk and adventure and unknown in all of it. And I think that's probably the combination between the 12th and the first that we're seeing. All right. Well, if we go forward, put Aquarius on the ascendant, then we see that the Sagittarian energy is all constellating around the 11th. Mars will enter the 11th. Venus is going to retrograde in the 12th, and then you've got Saturn and Jupiter in the first, with Jupiter about to enter the second house. So if you're an Aquarius rising, the card that I pulled for you is the Nine of Wands. You can see that this guy is a little beat up. He's a little nervous, maybe a little paranoid, looking over his shoulder. The sense of having accomplished a lot, having been, you know, beat up in the process, wondering who I can trust. Also, who are my allies? Who are my friends? And what have I been beat up by? And have I learned my lesson? And also, you know, just the struggle involved in getting somewhere and the lessons learned and the bruises and bumps that we take along the way. The nine is almost complete with the suit. Now, one of the things that I like about the way this matches is that the 11th house is one closest to the 10th. So in the rotation of the sky, the next place that all of the Sag planets go by the diurnal rotation is upward into the 10th house, the place of the summit, the realization place. The nine comes right before the 10. So it matches with the tarot card very nicely. Well, the 11th house is called the place of allies and friends and benefactors and any kind of resource that helps you get to that place, that pinnacle of achievement signified by the 10th house. So when you see the nine of wands looking over its shoulder with Mars about to enter the 11th, I do think, am I with the right people? Are there going to be conflicts around friends, colleagues, groups? Who can I trust? Questions about who's deceiving me, who's going behind my back. Am I being socially opportunistic? Are the groups that I am a part of helping me reach my goal? Also, the social ladder climbing to me is a potential here because Jupiter's moving into the second where it's trying to get paid. You know what I mean? And you got all the Sagittarian energy in the 11th. I think of opportunism and like, well, be careful because the nine of wands implies that, you know, you could get a little bit beat up depending on who you're associating with for what reasons, and the potential for there to be some struggle that's not yet over, that you still have somewhere to go. You may need some new resources or friends. They may be coming. These could be good sign of people and resources entering your life that you need because you've been sort of beat up and need some help, but also be careful of who and what you take help from and for what reasons. All right. So that's Aquarians. Let's put Pisces on the ascendant. The eclipse takes place in your 10th with Mars entering your 10th this month. Jupiter about to enter your home sign in first house with Venus retrograding in the 11th. I really love this month for Pisceans. And the card for you is the King of Wands. And the King of Wands really shows a king seated in power. This is the quintessential Jupiter entering your first house. Jupiter was a sign, a planet of kings and rulers and people, you know, any kind of authority. It doesn't have to be the, you know, patriarchal, masculine figure necessarily. It can very easily just refer to that sense of impassioned, fiery power, authority, mastery, something you're stepping into this month. Let's take a look at this chart again. You can see that Jupiter's about to enter your first house, where it can give you really a big boost of confidence, strength, a sense of authority that comes with Jupiter entering the first house. Now, sometimes that'll come with pride or arrogance. But also with the eclipse in the 10th, I think about authority figures in the workplace being eclipsed, changing. Your boss changes, the company changes. Authority in the workplace might be a topic this month, big time, with King of Wands being there. But otherwise, it could also mean that you're getting promoted. You're going to be in charge of something. Maybe you're starting a business even. You're going to be the boss. But that King of Wands energy feels like real empowerment energy, or at least exploration of authority, and maybe within yourself or the workplace in particular. So that's what I've got for all 12 signs today. I hope you guys enjoy this. For me, I've said this a few times, but I know that not everyone watches every video I make, so I'm repeating it at least a few times. For me, when I'm going through and trying to give people a rising sign breakdown house by house, it is super helpful. I've been finding, I mean, sometimes I've brought in the I Ching in the past, but it's been really helpful to bring a card in because it really, it's like priming the pump. Like when I was a kid, we had a cabin, and my grandpa had a cabin out in the woods, and it had a pump in it. And you had to literally like pour some water and then like pump, and then it would start coming up. And I just never forget that. And first time I ever learned the phrase priming the pump. But the idea here being that, it, you know, a lot of the times when you're doing something repetitively as a diviner, you need new symbolic information to start making the divinatory spark. Right. So for me lately, I've just been feeling the need for more of that when it comes to working through the rising signs. I get a high amount of people asking me to do the rising signs for big transit. So I've been trying to do a little bit more of it, but also while not feeling dead inside, you know what I mean? So the cards have been really giving me a little, just like yeah, like priming the pump and getting the associative network just kind of humming. So I hope it's been helpful for you guys and that you enjoy it. I hope you guys have a fantastic weekend. Don't forget over the weekend, pitch into the Kickstarter if you haven't yet. I really appreciate your support. See if we can get to 500 backers and beyond. We still have, we're, you know, a little over a third of the way there now. So hopefully we can get to 1260 or 1367 or whatever it is, with about 29 days left to go or 30 days. So thank you very much for supporting me, for supporting this channel. I hope you guys again have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Take it easy, everyone. Bye.